Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook. I have a show called Bridging Wisdom, which is, I think of BDS as the bridge, and I think of the wisdom that we all share up here on BDS Radio as something that is far, 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 far between me. I can't even describe it because everybody here at this station has such a profound, beautiful message to help you and you and you and others evolve. I know that each of you probably have some stories to tell as well. It would be good if you all would start taking a look at some of the archives or some of the hosts. You can click on a show that you particularly like, either station one or two. You can click on that headline on the menu, go down and pull up their page on what they're about, how to contact them, or even maybe possibly call in and get in a conversation with one of the hosts. There's also a way for me to be able to be a host on BDS Radio. If you go to bdsradio.com, you look down to the side to the left, and there's a menu there for how to become a host. Doug Newsom, he works with the musicians, music people that are coming along. There's a way for me for your music to even get out there. So check out the pages of BDS. Look around and enjoy yourself. This is one of the oldest radio stations out there that have been on the internet. I know a lot of you have felt the difference and the change. I want to apologize for the archives I've been running last week and a couple of times. So, as you well know, in the background of most of my broadcasts are doggy sounds, little puppy, wuppy, girly, whirly. Most of you pretty much know her, not only in my world here in Charlotte, North Carolina, but around the world. She was nearly 15 years old. She passed away on the 22nd of July at about 10:53 at 11 seconds. She had a brain aneurysm. But what's so ironic and strange is the way that she became my girlfriend. Maddie was here, the woo-woo, the godmother of my children. And we were coming in with some dinner. Puppy went down to her knees like a horse would do, going down to lay down, and immediately jumped up and started circling left circle, everything in the house, and going around in a circle from the kitchen to the entrance of the dining room, to the living room, back to the dining room, the other dining room, which is in a circle, because there's only a little wall that separates. Then she started going around in circles around each table. She went in under each desk and chair. She went into every room. She went into every closet. She went into under the bed. She touched everything in this house. Then she did it backwards, another circle backwards. She even jumped up over the back of the sofa, which she wasn't even able to hardly walk before this hit her. And then she did a little poo underneath both kitchen table and the dining room table. I finally caught her. She tried to jump out of each window because it was about 8:30 at night and blinds had not been pulled, and she was seeing a reflection. And I had this really long mirror in my bedroom. She jumped a good 3 feet high into that one. So my good friend, Cosmic Observer, TNT News Trader, gave me a call and helped me out a lot. She was supposed to be on tonight, but I wasn't able to get a hold of her. She keeps a lot of animals, so I'm sure she'll be on maybe next week or the next. But without the support, I have been overflowed with phone calls, to text messages, to Facebook page, to all types of pages on the internet, and bulletin boards. And I just want to thank everybody for the tremendous support that I have. You know, it goes to show me that even with my dog, so many people loved her. And that dog, she was one of the kind. She's sitting pretty in heaven. She always sat on her back legs. She's sitting pretty in the land of forget-me-nots right now. There's a story that's being written that I've been writing for years and years and years, and I was at the second to the last chapter about a week prior to her dying or passing over. And my daughter said, I finally have the last chapter written to be able to write, which what happened was perfect. It'll be about purpose and has a lot to do with the animals. It's where the animals go when they die. I want to keep it a secret because I've shared a little bit of it to a lot of you people, but I believe it's something that needs to be held on to and published. It will be hopefully December is my deadline for myself. Now, I want to talk to you guys about unconditional love. You know, our four-legged creatures, they get the most unconditional love, okay? All they ask for in return, they're helpless unless we feed them or get them to the doctor or whatever. Puppy finally got to the doctor after 2 hours with my son, and I stayed behind after I saged her before she left. And I stayed behind to save the house up because I didn't want to be the one to hold her to say goodbye. And Matthew had me on speakerphone, and Mady had my daughter Ashley on speakerphone. My mother was on the phone, and my son Jason. And we got to tell her that once upon a time, there was three bears, the mama bear, the daddy bear, and the little baby puppy wobby bear. We went Ouya night-night in her ocean into heaven. And Daddy loves you, Puppy Wuppy, and Mama too. And it was just, I said all her names. Puppy Wuppy, Curly Whirly, hers really, really is y'all. Hers new name is Long Tongue Licker Licker Labrador, Pimento Cheese, Peanut Butter and Jelly Sandwich, Salami and Bologna and Sylvania Light Bulb today. Puppy got her white. But that's enough of that. You all know that she sends us mostly all the archives talking in the background. And those of you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have sent letters or just talked about a little bit about her, I'm so humbling, heartfelt for the feelings that knowing that y'all care so much. It's very difficult. I still get, for no reason at all, start crying. If I do, I'm just going to play some kind of archive that's already on my iTunes. I'm going to gather myself right now. We'll just play something that's here right now, and I'll be right back. I'll just play a little bit, okay? Be right back.
So notice that man. Hey, listen, tonight, tomorrow is Uncle Wani's birthday. Hello, we're on the air. Kathy Cook, also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders, and
Michael Golder.
Hey. Also known as...
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, y'all. He was being known as Batman.
Hello. We are on the air. This is Kathy Cook and...
Michael Golder.
Tonight is January 24th, 2012.
Tuesday evening, therebeinfradio.com,
as you want. Michael, how have you been? And tell me what's been going on. You feel
that energy
shift?
Yes, I do. You can feel it. There's a lot going on. Not only in my own life, but universally.
Yeah.
There's definitely something going on. I know between now and what time in May, astrologically, we also got all kinds of retros, Mercury, Saturn, solar flares, all kinds of different things happening out there that we should be aware of. And how have you been doing with the cooling energies?
Yeah, you were talking about how your feet were vibrating when you were here.
Yeah.
And that's continued a lot of different changes in my yard. Especially over there towards where that portal is, and the pictures that we've taken where the portal is, those tree branches have fallen off, and the blackout keeps coming up. Now the little spirit came in today, which I hadn't seen in a while, came on in the house. And
thank you, guys. I needed to get my little grip together there. That Michael saw a black owl the last time he was here, and a couple of days before Puppy passed away, this humongous, I'm not kidding, the biggest forceful energy that I've ever seen in my life. It was a white owl with tan underneath its wings, and it went right to my deck and just stopped a minute and then went on. And a few days prior to that was a red snapping turtle that was another story to be told, and a red-tailed hawk. So I knew the night before she passed away, I put her in the bathtub. She could hardly hold her head up. That's what's so weird about her running through the house like she did. I put her in about 3 inches of water and just bathed her with Nova. So I feel real bad because Don of BDS Radio called that night to chit-chat a little bit, and I had to hang up on him. Don, I'm so sorry. But I know that we'll be able to connect and catch up a little bit later. I want to say that TNT News Trailer has a lot of information there. I copied a little piece that was on about the solar flare. And this makes so much sense, especially those of y'all that are in relationships and everything going topsy-turvy this way and that way. He said, she said, we said, they said, whatever reason, I'm going to read pieces of it. It's the solar flares as large as 10 Earths. Hit Earth 7/14/12, Saturday morning around 5:30 a.m. And it's the 3D effect. It's like somebody put some things together. It's really cool. Because I have been wanting to share this for days, did not feel time yet. Then I saw the human effects along the changes in people on the Earth. Hope this will open to many, is what they tell us, like Earthkeeper. And it says, I'm going to skip down a little bit. This is a incredible X-Class and Mercury Retro. Fasten your seatbelt. The solar winds hit in 10 hours. It's no accident that this X-Class solar flare hits the Earth as Mercury goes retrograde. Just happened in March. Scroll down for a moment. The magnificent effect of solar flares, coronal mass ejections, the solar gas from the CME, have its own magnetic field, and it is a stream that passes our planet. It stirs up massive turbulence in the Earth's magnetic field. If this is the point in the opposite direction as the Earth, the two can link up and reconnect, releasing magnetic energy that accelerates particles and hereby creates bright auras for powerful electrical currents. It also can be problematic in electronics, air flight, satellites, and a human aura. The CME are mega energy amplifiers and also can be used wisely for benevolent purposes. The X-Class solar flare today is hitting the Earth. In the energy of the Mercury Retro, I believe this is you can use this energy wisely. It is expected to continue to increase in its peaks into early 2013. For more of coming of this energy, it feels like the full moon of X100 and can create anxiety, untoward emotional spikes, mood swings, and depression if it is not managed. It can be optimally managed, and in fact, it is an incredibly potent and charged energy for manifestation if used wisely, and the auric field is kept intact. The Earth's magnetic field is powerfully affected by the CME, and so are we. The CME is expected to reach Earth tomorrow, which it did. And the coronal mass injections of the solar flares and the wind are major part of the upshift of the energy in such an integral part of the planetary ascension. As we have previously shared, the CMEs can and do disrupt the human auric field. Emotions can be malaffected if imbalance occurs. Be prevented. Maintenance is possible. And we are currently entering into the Mercury retrograde. These energies can be further amplified, and it's quite interesting that this X-Class is hitting as we enter the Mercury retrograde. The energy will be fantastic, but a double-edged sword, meaning it can be well utilized or is ignored. The pressure in the time of emotional swing, miscommunication, travel issues can result. It is prudent be aware of the astronomical waves and the dual attributes, and especially to take immediate and ongoing measures to prevent any minimized seizures. cracking of the early field, wear stabilized gems and noble metals, meditate, and take salt mineral baths and sauna. Thank God I did that to some people. Now there is indeed a means to use this energy in a beneficial manner, although this wave is tremendously powerful. There are other astrological influences that will allow the I'm sorry, y'all. Look down at my phone because I'm on the phone tonight to do Skype. It can only maintain stability, okay? If there is, could be a positive effect, and it carries with a unique field of higher dimensional access. If one can maintain stability, it is a superb energy break. And it also can cause harmony. If the veil is very thin in this time frame, as also explained in the atonic influx that can be used with the Theia wave, which is harmonized and more rapidly transformed through the reality. It is indeed a double-edged sword, not so good, or it can be very good, depending entirely on what thought we focus on in a very unique and intensive. Indeed, the wise can be very dependent. The time period can go either way, depending on one's awareness and emotional stability. CME amplification within retro, Mercury retro can also be absolutely optimally utilized in manifestation for higher vibrational goals, as well as for achievement of extremely lucid vision. As we enter this period of the solar maximum in 2012 and increase into 2013, it is important to maintain stability and understand the resonance of the energy around us, and it will increase week by week. If it is not become less intense, rather it will become more able to manage. We become stronger. We become the creators and use this to increase to the higher dimensions to manifest our reality. It is why we are here, managing the aura, kept intact, and managing the emotional field. The auric maintenance is like a cornerstone. This X-class solar flare erupts from giant sunspots. For more of this, please go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/notes-kathy-gill-cook. And it's listed really long, so it's listed there. It's also listed if you go to www.bbsradio.com/trusted-news-trader or just Google search bbsradio.com or any search engine. Go to the Trusted News Trader, Trusted News Trader and type in solar flares, and there you will find some write-ups about that. I would like to go to the understanding of this is how I feel right now, okay? This was written back in 2004. I wrote this in March of 2004. Just came across it, and it so touches me with where I'm at today. This house, my grip. That's the name of it. And it's an inner dialogue with myself. How's my grip? Well, it depends on what trip. Why is that? Afraid the emotions will scat. Because if I'm out and tell how everything came all about, then I will let go of my all and have surrendered within my own walls. I will lose myself and I will have nothing left. What might happen? Myself is asking myself these things. Miscellaneous, differing in contraction. So I hold on tight with all of my mental acrobatic mind till my muscles ache. I beg in mercy to relax. Chill out, for goodness sake. Oh, come on now. It's just a state of mind. In the thoughts and behaviors of what you find, as also in others, in due time. To call it quits is like losing the ego's mental sense. The battle is lost. Look at what it all has cost. Is it worth all that? Where tension manifests itself inside, twisted distortions of emotionally knotted, physically fat. Now, intellectually, I analyze and categorize this mind's trip. With different things on my mind, with these mental acrobatic flips, trying to change things this way and that, of what others say and how they put it to fill their gap. Like the Chinese handcuffs, pulling hard, fingers caught in the woven mesh tightly inward, a knot in my shoe, pulling and twisted to get it through. It gets even tighter. So I pull and I tug like a fighter. I can swim against the current with any assurance. I remember how to survive. So tired, I want to stay alive. Hey, the dead man's float. My body's a boat. All of my struggles gently go out with no trouble. That's all God asks of me, is to let go and to give them all to him for free. Yes, I hear you, God. You are my wake-up call. That was March 2004. I just want to say, I had thyroid cancer and many things happened to my body. I gave it to God. I just said, God, you know the best thing for me. And without any type of surgeries or any type of radiation or chemotherapy, the thyroid cancer was totally destroyed. And with my legs, my leg was deamputated, and gave it to God. And I said, okay, God, I'll do for you if you do for me. The next morning, my leg was totally healed. I could go on and on with the miracles. But without God in my life, my truth and my salvation of who I am, I could get torn up over the malicious gossips or the hurts or the hardcore words they're spoken towards me or other people, because my heart is very tender and I can't stand anybody to talk about anybody, especially when it's not true. And a lot of that goes on in the world today. As a matter of fact, with President Obama, I just want to say something. I listened to that speech he said about the economy and the business owners, the young business owners, the self-made businessmen. And I didn't catch it the way that it's been twisted on the TV. To me, President Obama was giving me a message with my father being a self-made businessman, which passed on to my brother and my mother when my dad passed. I get it like this. It takes one plus one minus the ego to complete a one. In other words, we can have the idea of a business. We can have the idea and we can have the know-how, but it takes other people, places, and things to help make that business get off the ground and be something. President Obama, I know what you meant by that message, and I know that you meant that it takes the United States of America to keep things at home and to help others get their businesses off the ground. It's not about a certain somebody making it all by themselves like that television thing keeps saying, and it just really aggravates me. But I got an email from President Obama, and the subject is called So. And it says, sometimes politicians can seem very small, but the choice of the voters face in elections couldn't be bigger. Over the past 2 months, we have been outraged by our opponents. They've used advantage to distort the truth and mislead people over and over through TV and radio in battleground states. And it's critical. We are facing a critical time in our world today. I was talking to somebody that was helping me with something technical, it was a business phone call today, and I was explaining to them, I said, if we look at it like, say we're a kid and the phone is broken, and we want to use that phone, and mom and dad are not getting it fixed fast enough, but there's a broken cable underneath the ground or on top or somewhere, and it's taken several different people to fix it. All we see is the phone's broken and pitch our little childish temper tantrum against our parents or our caretakers so that we can act out and be childish because we're not getting our way. Why don't everybody step back a moment, get out of themselves, and start looking at what's going on? Because you have to have trust. You have to have faith and belief. I have faith and belief in this country. I have faith and belief in this universe. I have faith and belief in the power of positive and just knowing and trusting, because I do know, without a doubt, that things are going to work out in the right way if we all have a good heart and a good mind. and quit slapping everybody up on other people, because nobody wants to hear the drama and the traumatic curtails of personal people's lives, especially when they've been changed around a lot or maneuvered in the way to suit them, to make them look like the drama person that they need to be. But forgive them. Forgive everybody. Don't take it to heart. My daughter said today, she says, when we were discussing this, because I was discussing what I wanted to say on air, she said, you know, a lot of times people say things when they're aggravated or upset with other people, but that isn't their truth. Their truth comes out when it's settled and calm and when things are relaxed. And if everybody would just focus on their self inside of their heart and stay in their own truth, then it won't be anything to act out in the way that we're supposed to in this world. I want to also, I hope I'm on air. I don't know if I am or not. But I'm just going to keep on talking.
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you. I heard you. See, this thing is dark and I can't see it. But anyway, I'm going to say, I'm going to pull up some of my things that I've written in the past couple of weeks, a month, 2 years, because it shows me where I'm at today compared to what I thought before. And let's see. Here's, this is something I wrote. In the Helium, that was the name of the place that I wrote it, because they asked a question and I answered it. You have to wait just a second till that commercial goes down. It says, experience is a choice and circumstances are not. You all have heard me over and over talk about it, but this is written out. The question was, do thoughts follow feelings or do feelings follow thoughts? Our application and knowledge towards something is chosen by ourselves. I feel that's me saying that. This is what I answered that. By the way we choose to experience the situation that is evolving around us. How we have, in thought, observed to absorb, this is an obtainable insight to feel and use as the knowledge. Whether productively gained or unproductively gained is a matter of course per se. Whether intended or not, the direction in which our life is taking us through while actively practicing these feelings we have been experiencing has gained its effect, the state of a condition which is connected to a circumstance of a certain situation. As a matter of fact, one's experience and how it has affected self is not a choice. The conditions are already surrounded throughout into an assortment of catalysts in its own form. There are, in fact, the intensity of circumstances matter of an individual's life from absorbed within its very own home. It is our feelings that surround the circumstance, our feelings of our experiences we so grasp in the emergencies of our house that's within us, as well as project these energies outward into the world and our surroundings that travel into the universe, and by which doing so has surrounded our own life world. We are like that atmospheric breath. One can only choose the way that we use to acknowledge and experience that is felt in life. Thus, if we apply into the direction through insight of the words of wisdom, which feed our thought process through our heart, and how we want to actively let a circumstance that already has affected us, rather in its positive or negative feeling, which suits its purpose, it's always a choice. Our attitudes of these feelings and experiences is way more important than any circumstance. It will make us or it will break us. And that accompanies us. The most wondrous fact is that we have the gracious choice of choosing our attitude each moment, each inkling, each time of day, of each situation, and time of living. We are in charge of our own attitude by all means, in every way, shape, and form. If we harvest the healthy choices in our reasoning, experiencing the feelings to benefit our purpose in our journey's life and meaning of growth, causing positive friction throughout, if people would seek, they will find gainful insight to the understanding of God's given knowledge. As we do reap what we sow, as in all things, there is wisdom gained in all applications, that they are positively and productively applied, seasoned with reason and purpose. As we harvest the digest, the absorption of our food for thought, and remember that no matter what, it's just exactly the way we chose it to be by our actions and our feelings. As we are always right in life where we're supposed to be, life is a lesson of learning. The school of knowledge is a purpose, and learning is an experience that life's true feeling, in which our sole purpose unconditionally is our choice. And that, my friend, is God-given gift of free will, simply put. So experience is a feeling, and that is how we apply our thought to the circumstance in which it has a home of its own. The thought equals a reaction. And that is how we observe to absorb and obtain that. I wanted to share that because I needed to hear that. It's just, I'm really sensitive right now, and I have been for a good year. Puppy has been dying for a year, and I have not acknowledged the need to what I needed to do. I kept, because she had her good days in her bad. But I just want to say, you know, communication skills are very important. I loved that part of my college classes that I took for nearly 6 years of college, just in and out with different human services and classes. And, you know, we tend to need to take the cotton out of our ears and place it in our own mouth and allow a person to speak. What happens, I feel, with myself is when I'm degraded or demanded, reprimanded, or put in a yes, sir, no, sir situation when there is no reason for that. Because I have always given, at my best, gentleness until I'm attacked after a couple of days. And we're all like that. So go back to the sun flares, the solar flares. Communication is so important to realize that I have learned to speak, I feel such and such, when so and so or you do such and such. And I need this and that. And, you know, tell what I need. If I could do that instead of being, and people could do that with me, especially in intimate relationships with God or a person or whatever that's intimate and private, and not shared all over the world. And, you know, it's just like praying. God says to pray in the closet, secret, gentle places in the closet where nothing or no one can hear. That's the way it should be with family matters or anything. In any communication or confrontation to just pure, just casual conversation should not be repeated. It should not be, even if someone asks how so-and-so is, yeah, they're great and fine, let them get in touch with that person, because things are taken out of context. I've used this analogy several times, which is where you take a, you know, a group full of people and you whisper something in one person's ear and then let it go to the next and to the next and to the next. And before you know it, at the very end, it's not even the same thing that was, you know, spoken of at the beginning. Now, I want to also say that I want to give a heads up. I am computer illiterate. I kid you not. I can type it out and I can follow the link. That's about it. But I have had my laptop totally destroyed for some reason or another. And it says that the hard drive is full. And plus, I believe it's something for somebody to get into something or something else. It shouldn't be anybody's business. But I had to get a charge card out that I had paid off, and I had to buy a brand new computer. And on March the 31st, January 1st, 2012, they started a bubble saga. And also they started Bubble Safari and Bubble this and that. And that was on a Facebook page, and it did, not saying that Facebook did this, but my new computer is now saying hard drive full. And I can't get onto anything, can't do my pictures or anything. It's really sad that I don't harm anyone. If I do, I am so sorry. I do have a very bold, blunt mother voice at times. And I do speak out in my own home, things that I need to learn. And it's nobody's business but, you know, my own. If I want it known, then I will speak it out in public or to a person. But what I do behind my walls and behind my house and how I am is my personal business. It's no one else's. I have not signed a contract for anything to be in a public display of this virtual game or whatever is going on. And I just want to give that heads up because I have a lot to give. But I have to act. I'm a learner that acts things out and speaks things out. I'm not one to learn very much with reading things, which I don't read a lot of. And in order for this to be the best production and the best story, journaled story, not the story, but the journal story, I say the story behind the scenes in my house. But this is a storybook, and it's going to have 12 stories in one book, and it's going to be amazing. And I want everybody to quit jumping to conclusions. I don't care if you think you can tap into my brain and get down into the nitty-gritty root of who I am. You cannot get into my heart. No one can get into anyone's heart. And I just want to say that. I have nothing to hide. But the twisting of my work and taking words out of context and putting in what others feel that they want to make it look trashy, including some of my broadcasts, I have stopped. I have stopped putting things out there because it just didn't work. It was there for everybody to have. I give things freely. I don't charge for anything. As the 100 million of you guys know, when I read you separately and privately in a deep root reading, I do not charge a dime because it is a message from God, the Creator. It's not me. And I know that lately I've been watching some morning TV. Yes, I turned on the TV because I love music. But there's so many psychics out there on different shows. This morning was Dr. Phil, or yesterday morning with the psychics and being, you know. But I want to say something about what I see as a psychic. What is a psychic? To me, a psychic is placing a destination for the sitter, saying you will have a house with two trees on each side of the driveway, and it will look like this, 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 or this. I see it. Well, that will make the person go out there and keep following until they find that exact house that that so-called person, being the reader psychic, said. You know, there's also ways and means of putting out, making the person, like an example, what if a person comes to an intuitive consultation or a quote-unquote psychic and wants a sex change operation? You know, what do you do with that? And what if in the middle of the psychic giving them the okay, yeah, I see you doing that? You know what I mean? It's playing the wrong way. You don't play with people's worlds and minds. That's why with me, and y'all know how to get in touch with me if you want me, because I do not advertise for this. And if I have a message to give out, I don't tap into other people's energy fields. I don't tap into anybody's auras or any part of their being, because it could throw them off. We have to respect everybody. And if you're going to be touching other people's energy fields, let me just say, bless them. Blessed be one's name. Bless it all the way to the nth degree. Because you know what? We have to be so reverent with thinking of other people, with being, you know, our intentions. What are our intentions? What is the motive? Look at your motives. I have been a little butt lately because I've been put on the defensive so deep that I stood firm in who I was and what I was. And it's because of the miscommunications and the gossipy stuff. You know, think of it this way. What if I, and y'all know, every single body in this world, wide web, and this is 190 countries, no, I do not talk after somebody gives me something to listen to or of their input, because it would not be the same story, and plus it's not my place. I don't own that. I was a sounding board. And I want to just say, I put something somewhere. It's called Blessed Be One Day. Where is that? Well, I was going to read it, but I don't know where it went. Here it is. I'm sorry, y'all. Please bear with me. You know, I don't prepare for these shows. It just comes out the way it needed. This just happens to be some, one of my favorites. I'm coming, y'all. While I'm looking for it, let's talk about breathing and breath. Okay? Because I heard somewhere, that breathing and breath is what gets us there and back. I shallow breathe because when I shallow breathe, I'm in a deeper meditation in my heart. If I breathe like a Lamaze method, which is a cleansing breath deep from my abdomen, and blowing it out, breathing deep four times, cleansing, and then do that till I have a focal point. It can be a tree, a book, or whatever. And I breathe with pants, you know, little exhales. Like that, when something's really bugging me, it will keep me from talking, it will keep me from acting out, it will keep me from doing. So you can't do anything when you're chit-chit-chit-hooing. You just can't. The other breath, there's four breaths. I mean, you can look it up if you want. You take a deep breath, you blow it out, you take a deep breath, you blow it out, and then you just breathe deep with your abdomen in through the nose, all the positive, out through the mouth, very, very slow. Just like that, over and over and over. And then when you get finished, you take one deep final and do a cleansing breath. The second stage of breathing is taking four cleansing breaths. Just like that again. But this time you do a quicker breathe. And you focus on your focal point. Always have a focal point. It can be a book, a tree, a pencil, a crayon. I don't care what it is, but focus on that. Because that's what's going to save your butt when you are needed to ascend yourself. I tend to ascend myself in any way, shape, or form. I can be any animal. I can be any creature, live or even to the dirt. I can be anything and see out of its eyes and hear out of its ears. I can fly. I can walk on water. I can ascend beyond the beyond the beyond the beyond the beyond into the stars, combust into a million billion particles at one time, bring my body back together, and come right back down. But I do not suggest that to anyone that has not got a good 50 years behind their belt like I do, because I'm 50 years old. I have done things like this since I was young, but I have not ever gotten to the extent that I have today. You should always have a lifeline of your belly button cord connected to Earth, or you could get out there like an astronaut, and you could just be disconnected and put on out there. I want people to be very leery and very careful and check credentials of any and all people that teach any type of remote viewing, teach any type of meditation, and teach any type of anything metaphysical or religious or whatever, because that is their story. Do not take it to heart, except for maybe take pieces of what you want, because I've been listening. I love the messages people are getting out there, but I'm going to tell you something. You don't start in college, in the graduating class, before you have taken first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, and 12th, and 2 or 4 years of college. You just don't do that. And people, if you get an information from somewhere, give credit where credit's due, because we all work hard. Now, I'm not saying you have to say my name or where you got it. Hey, you cat. I am known as the cat everywhere. I don't know why I got the leopard spot cat, but somehow I do. But anyway, I do want to say that it's been a great, great, great hour. I don't know what I said. I will know later, but I will leave you with something, if I can find it. Okay, the red snapper turtle. I'm being pulled to that. There was a red snapper turtle that I told Michael about, and it will not let go of your finger until it is totally this lightning strike from the ground up. And all of a sudden, he was going to go into the woods in Woodstock and do some studying with some of his colleagues and do some reading. And a big, huge red snapping turtle was right at my yard. I've told this story a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to repeat it. But they started a hate group on red snapper turtles and smushing them and hurting them. I want those people that did and participated in that to realize what they have done to their own karmatic vehicle self. They have broken their own boundaries. They have opened up their own boundaries by smashing down on the turtle. They have broken open their protection, and they have broken open the energies of the lightning and the thunder, the energy waves in the Earth's atmosphere. They have totally distorted and thrown themselves totally off balance, and they also have totally disrupted their own auric field. So don't be blaming it on anybody. Everything in this world has a message. Every animal has a totem for each person. And their hard shells, which is the red snapping turtle's home, you are not supposed to handle a red snapping turtle. It will dang-um grab hold of you. But what I did is I talked in some, you know, Native American tongue. I didn't even know what I was saying, but I ran my hand over the top of it. It was a good size of a big platter. And it knew it was blind in one eye, and the other eye wasn't blind, and it evidently got off course. And so what I did was I took it back to its place, and it was so happy. I put a piece of its smell, you know, like a twig in front of it, and it automatically ran into the water, and it was so happy. But the people that played the game of smashing the turtle shells and stuff, don't you know, turtle maybe wins last in a race, but the turtle always keeps everything along the way. So what a person's done in damaging a turtle and trying to crush that shell, everything's hyper-focused on themselves. Their boundaries are broken. People can come all in their boundaries. And also they are so disrespected now because the red snapping turtle is one of the highest respected animals out there. And they have broken it themselves. So remember, if you've done anything like this, you can stop the karma from falling on you constantly by just forgiving yourself, asking whatever you've harmed to forgive, and if you know, then going to your higher self, your higher power, and asking forgiveness. I'm not allowed to touch my computer tonight. I'm not allowed to get in my emails. So people, I haven't sent out emails in probably months and months and months, except for to one or two people. If you get anything that says my name on it, it's not from them. Somebody is controlling my computer. It doesn't matter to me because I know my truth, and my truth sets me free. I'm in a good standing position with myself and with all that really truly know me. With that, I'm going to say goodnight, and so that we can get the next show up and running on BDS, which is going to be amazing because I listen to it every single week that I get off the air. You know why? Because they have. Now, it's called, I'm going to get to their page, don't I want to get it. Who comes after me is the Spirit Revolution, and it's with Kathleen McGowan and Philip Coven, and it's really, it's a good show. And check out bbsradio.com, Station 1, Station 2, and the 24-hour music. Get yourself in the groove. Let's get some grooving back into our life and world. And with that, everybody, I'm going to say tonight, God bless America. God bless this universe. God bless any entities that are on the other side looking at us, because have mercy on this human race. And hopefully you know, we can straighten ourselves up. It takes just one person to straighten up, to set an example. Let's set an example and lead by example. And remember, don't patronize anyone. Don't question their integrity. Patronizing is where you play a game like, oh, bless your heart, I'm so sorry, but can I do any, you know, that kind of thing. Don't patronize. Have understanding, and please, by all means, you empaths out there, empathic is feeling other people's feelings and thoughts and taking on their energy. If we could learn to be sympathetic like it all started out to be and how we're supposed to be, we could acknowledge the person, we could acknowledge their situation, and we could acknowledge how they need help without bringing it in on ourselves and becoming part of their feel. We want to feel our own selves. We want sympathy. We want to sympathize with others. The empathic is gotten out of control because nobody knows who's is what anymore. Have you noticed that? Good night, BBS Radio, and thank you so much. And tonight's timestamp is Tuesday. We started at 8 o'clock. It is July the 31st, 2012. This is Kathy Cook, also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders. Some call me Tassie. Bridging wisdom, one wisdom spoke at a time. Good night, everybody.